The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I got lazy. I didn't look. I clicked on view photos. And of course, you know, the Joker pops up, you've been busted. My fault, total.
She thinks I'm a nice guy. Women always think I'm nice, but women don't want nice. Why is nice bad? What kind of a sick society are we living in when nice is bad?
IT department, stop being nice. You're the cop of the station, right? I don't need a nice, warm, fuzzy email.
What's that smell? What are you wearing?
A little cologne.
Manly.
Monica wants me to wear it.
So why don't you say no?
I'm too nice. She wants me to take an IQ test.
It's because you're stupid enough to wear the cologne.
It's like I got pulled over by a cop for doing 10 over, and the cop is super, super nice, and he writes me a ticket for $250. Be the JAG. You're a JAG. You're a JAG department. What you do is a little nefarious. I'm a little sick of it.
Yeah, and he's going to find out I'm a moron. You know, people think I'm smart, but I'm not smart.
Who thinks you're smart?
I'm not going to break 100 on this thing.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he want to fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
Well, now that it's all said and done, and you have Texas playing Ohio State, and you have Penn State playing Notre Dame in the college football playoff semifinals, Chew, did it all sort of work out? You were very concerned about some of those lower seeds, some of those Boise states, Arizona states. You were concerned about how the bracket was structured. But here we are at the semifinals now, and you got Texas in the SEC, barely. Been there for like a cup of coffee. You got two Big Ten teams in Ohio State and Penn State, and you have Notre Dame, the conference-less wonder. Do you like the field for the college football playoff now?
No, I do not. I think the top four. I think the top four were flawed. I think you saw that Boise probably deserved to be in, but certainly not in the top four. Same for Arizona State, and the only one that belonged that got trucked is Oregon. But who was Georgia? See, this is what bothers me, Jen. Look back to last year.
I was hoping we would get to this.
Look back to last year. What did they do to Florida State? They kept them out. Why?
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, at least that was the thought, Jordan Travis.
That was the reason Jordan Travis.
Why didn't you do the same thing for Georgia?
Because they didn't.
I don't like.
They didn't, Chewy, they didn't know the extent of the injury until after the selection process. Like, Jordan Travis got injured going into the ACC championship game, so we knew he was out for the season. They played the ACC championship, they won, and they went, with Jordan Travis, you're not good enough, we're keeping you out.
Without him, yeah.
And when it comes to the Georgia situation, he was injured in the SEC championship game, and less than 24 hours later, they had the field. So they didn't have a chance to run any tests, had no idea if it was going to be severe, if a layoff was going to keep him there. And plus, Georgia had to be in the field as the SEC champion because they were guaranteed a spot under the new rules.
That's what I don't like. I don't like because there are certainly, like, the creme de la creme is the Big Ten and the SEC, right?
So you want to keep the SEC champion out?
Fine.
When Notre Dame wins the national title this year, it's going to be very uncomfortable for you.
For everybody.
Well, they don't have a prayer, okay? Give Ohio State the trophy right now.
No!
I mean, they are so much better than everyone. If Ohio State plays like Ohio State, none of those teams have a chance.
Yeah, which is why the Michigan loss was so baffling and the play calling was so weird.
And yet we know that they can certainly shoot themselves in the foot with the best of them.
Pete on their leg, all of those sort of things, yes.
Fill their shorts.
Penn State, I mean, they're all fine. You don't think Ohio State is head and shoulders above everybody else?
Penn State's defense is very good.
Yeah, their offense on the other end is terrible.
Hey, did you see how I put a period at the end of that sentence? There was no continuation. I wasn't following up.
Yeah, and I mean, again, if Ohio State continues to play like this, nobody stands a chance.
So I did see that Greg Sankey is already talking, guys, about potentially making changes to the 2025 field. That would be next year, obviously, even though we are in currently 2025. Don't get messed up by the time warp. He is already saying that maybe there should be reseeding. After the first round, you should reseed. Maybe if you're not in the top 10, these are just things he is throwing out there. If you don't finish the season in the top 10, even if you are one of the top four conference champs, which is the way it is currently structured that gets the byes, you would have to be in the top 10 in order to receive the bye. So you couldn't be like a
Boise State,
Arizona State, and then earn the bye of the conference. It would then fall to the
That's just getting too convoluted. Just make the top four teams the byes and move on. Whoever the best four teams are. Like, you win your conference, you get in the field, sure, but then just make the top four teams
like
the byes and move
on. The problem is they're worried about it de-incentivizing and what's the other word?
Valuing.
There it is, boom. Devaluing the conference championships. Because that conversation already came up this year.
This is what you've decided to do. And if you want to make this,
it's not me.
Well, no, I'm talking to Sankey.
Oh,
if you want to relay the message, feel free.
I'm willing to leave it how it is if they address the transfer portal, because the transfer portal is stupid.
Guess what's never going to happen, pal?
You don't think they're going to limit it to one transfer?
No,
absolutely not.
That's just.
I think eventually where we get to Chew is. Players signed contracts, and that's how you guarantee that they're not going from, oh, I'm in Alabama this year. Oh, now I'm going to go to Ohio State. Well, now I'm going to go play for Oregon. I think guys are going to eventually sign two-year contracts, or maybe if you want to, I'll commit here for all 4 years. I think guys are going to eventually sign contracts, and that's how you guarantee that guys stick around.
But look at Dylan Gabriel's journey, guys. Dylan Gabriel starts at UCF, then he goes to Oklahoma, then he finishes his career at Oregon. And he's a Heisman finalist. He's in New York for that trophy ceremony. If he stays at UCF, I don't know if he's getting that opportunity. I don't know if he's leading the number one team in the nation. I know they're out of the field now, but like, I do think you should give those guys the opportunities. One of the big parts of Cam Scataboo's story is that he had zero FBS offers out of high school, went to Sacramento State, played a couple seasons, put up gaudy numbers, and then transferred to Arizona State where he was in the college football field. Like, I don't want to limit these guys' opportunities to be able to go where they are going to get more attention and have more likelihood for success and then play at the next level.
I just don't like the poaching of the rosters year in and year out. And they do it. They say it's illegal. They do it anyways. They don't care. They contact these kids when they're playing for another team. It's just they should be able to limit it. I mean, look at schools like the MAC. You know, I think one transfer is enough. You know, instead of four.
Yeah, but legally it's just not holding up, Chew. It's why it's the way it is. Like, they're going to have to come be. If you're expecting the NCAA to do something about it, that ain't going to happen. They don't know.
What about capping? Is capping of the NIL going to happen or no? Jen?
I haven't heard any conversations about capping NIL. Who was the coach just this past week, guys, who was complaining about his players being contacted by other?
Yeah, I'm trying to think because I remember him saying that he's going to pursue to the full letter of the law sanctions against those other teams.
I can't
remember
who it
was.
Why can't we remember? Were we talking about it?
It was the UConn coach, Matta,
right? Well, no, it was
Mara.
Yeah, Jim Mora.
Jim Mora Jr.?
Jim Mora, yeah.
Okay, so, and one of the things I said about that was, was that to me feels like revealing an ignorance about how the transfer portal is working. Because Nick Saban told us on a College Game Day production call that more often than not, a guy doesn't jump into the transfer portal unless he has either a desired location in mind, and he's already kind of greased the wheels, had those conversations, or a coach slash representative from another program has reached out to him or his agent gauging interest. Saban's position was that a lot of these guys are not jumping in and then hoping to land somewhere. He was saying a lot of these guys, especially top tier, already know where they're going once they announce that they're going into the transfer portal, which means ipso facto, the tampering is occurring.
This is news to me.
Well, it's news to Mora, apparently.
I can't believe that this is... Well, yeah, but if he wants... I mean, again, like, good on him. I mean, I'm sure he obviously knows how it works, but if that's illegal and the NCAA is supposed to do something about it, I mean, good. Hold NCAA's feet to the fire. Keep showing that they're incompetent, so then maybe James Franklin's dream of Nick Saban becoming the college commissioner actually comes true. Because, Chewy, that's the only way any of this ever gets fixed, is if the NCAA is no longer in charge of college football. That's but the, like, that's the only way.
Relinquishes its control.
Like, why would you recruit high school kids? Like, why?
Well, I mean,
just do the portal every year, because if let's say you're at Ball State and you somehow get a 4-star, you're not keeping them. You're developing them. You ain't keeping them. So why bother recruiting them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but somebody has to, like, you have to have a self-realization. Like, Ball State has to have the self-realization of, okay, we recruit high school guys so they can eventually leave. Like, somebody has to recruit, like, high school players.
Like, my son, he just recruits the portal. He got 8 offensive linemen out of the portal last year and, like, 1 high school player. Like, the hell for? Yeah, he's a good high school player. Maybe I could develop him, but after 1 year, he's going to – and he lost kids this year to Nevada. Yeah, I know it's fair for the kids, but I'm just saying, you're going to see more and more of these coaches leaving college football just because they don't like it and it's exhausting and these kids are PIAs.
Or just relocating to different positions like Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly didn't want to deal with all that stuff, so now he's calling plays for Ohio State and might, you know, win a national title.
Jen, is this why Saban, like, I'm not doing this stuff?
I'm sure it was a part of it. Yeah, I'm sure it was part of it. He looked around and went, this is not the college football I know and remember. But he seems to be doing okay. I saw him in 17 Aflac commercials yesterday. So, or what's the one where he has the Airbnb, the Vrbo? Oh, God, I love those. No fun. No dad.
5-minute showers. This isn't a spa.
It's a great barbecue out there, but you know don't what? Use it.
God, I'd really love to do that when my kids come to visit for Christmas.
5-minute showers. This isn't a spa.
No fun. I don't want any fun. Read a book.
You gonna sit in the hot tub with your shirt on like Saban does in the commercial too?
I don't think he had his shirt off.
That's what she said. Shirt on. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said shirt off. Yeah, that was a good commercial.
All right, I got to take a break here on Jen Gabachewy. Still much more to get to this morning as we wrap up the week. Weird week. I don't even know what day it is. They tell me it's Friday. Yes, no?
Can't confirm.
Fantastic. Hey, all you sports bettors, if you aren't making your wagers at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee, listen. You're already missing out on an elite experience. It is a complete sports betting paradise. State-of-the-art venue, self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a first-class bar and restaurant, VIP deck, broadcast booth, and if that isn't enough for you guys, the creme de la creme of giant video walls over 2,000 square feet where you can watch all of the sporting action your heart's desires. They have really figured it all out. Bet above the rest. Only at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's new sportsbook. We have a lot of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line. List is more. Augie from Fredonia says what the CFP should do is the top four teams are ranked regardless of winning or not winning their conference. Then the conference champions are slotted starting with 5. So if only 2 conference champs are top 4, the other 2 are 5 and 6. That way there is still an incentive to win your conference championship. So I guess, Gabe, you were talking about automatic bid versus automatic buy. But conventional wisdom says that if you win your championship, you're going to be in. I mean, like... That means you're one of the top teams in the country. Certainly top 12 teams in the country.
Maybe. Maybe not. Because, I mean, Arizona State wasn't a top 12 team. Clemson wasn't a top 12 team this year. So those were 2 of the 5 conference champions that were in this field.
Look at how both of those teams, each of those teams, rather, showed out.
Oh.
Arizona State held its own against Texas.
Sure.
Clemson.
Ish. Yeah. Adjacent. I mean, they played well, but again, like, they weren't one of the top 12 teams, and like, you take the entire body of the work in. I understand where you're coming from in terms of the problem is, like, when you look at what the SEC was out there with, you know, Texas and Georgia, those are 2 of the top 4 teams in the country. Like, that SEC championship game would not have meant anything had you know, they play well. Both chances are both these teams are going to get byes anyway. How much are they going to try to actually win the SEC? That's what you'd have to run into.
I like the 12 teams, but go back to the BCS system and rank them that way. I think it's better. Would you agree?
Well, would you say top 12 teams? Are you
just
saying
computer top 12 team, top four gets a bye. Let the computer determine it with a little eye test, and then go from there. But because you're right, you know, even though those teams did show they belong, I wouldn't have put them in the top four.
But I thought there was a lot of memes circulating about the time that the college football playoff committee announced the field. And the BCS teams would have been similar.
Yeah, I think the field would have been the same. Maybe some of the seeds would have been different. But I think the 12 teams would have been the same. Again, the big issue is that Boise State was the 3 seed. Ohio State was an 8 seed. You know, I think that was the big issue. Because Oregon went undefeated, and the reward was the $20 million team.
Well, and I think that was one of the other things that Sankey mentioned. Again, that article is on The Athletic, I believe, and you could read some of the comments that Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, has made about changes he would suggest, or at least would be behind, for changes in 2025. I am scrolling through to see what the BCS was. Gabe, I'm sure that your memory is fairly accurate.
Yeah,
but they're saying Arizona State would have been in the field. Arizona State, Notre Dame.
Well, they would have had to have been in the field.
As the winner of the Big 12.
Correct.
Alabama, Penn State, Indiana at Georgia, Tennessee at Ohio State, and that
which
is the field.
The same.
Yeah. Another thing, I don't think they lean enough on strength of schedule. They really don't. Notre Dame played nobody. You played nobody.
Yeah, but
you played Army and Navy. You played our great. Ooh, yeah. You played Army and Navy who were ranked. What was their best win?
A&M.
Who was on the downslide at that time?
It was the first game of the year.
They were getting towards the downslide. But Gabe, that's canceled out by NIU. That was a bad loss.
Yeah, it was a bad loss.
And I'm not saying Notre Dame didn't belong.
They're in the Final Four.
Well, what about Indiana?
They belonged.
Who'd Indiana play?
They belonged.
They beat Michigan, and then they lost to Ohio State.
Sure, but like again, you play in a major conference, you have one loss, you belong in the field.
Yeah, but Indiana lucked out with their schedule because they didn't play Oregon. They didn't play
some
of the top-notch teams. No, I know it's not on them, but I don't think they put enough value on strength of schedule because the SEC and the Big Ten are head and shoulder better conferences
than
the
other two. But they play a Big Ten schedule.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, that should
after
account
watching
for more than,
Alabama,
say, a Pac-12 or a Big 12 team.
After watching Alabama lose to Michigan in its bowl game, did you then believe, okay, the committee got it right by leaving Alabama out of the field?
Yes.
Did you
Is
believe
he in
that
trouble?
Before? No. Did you believe that before they lost to Michigan in the bowl game?
I thought Alabama was better than I thought.
Yeah. That's.
Wait, hold on. I thought Alabama was better than I thought.
Correct.
That's an I thought
sandwich.
It's pretty
simple,
there,
yeah. But it's a pretty straightforward statement.
Do the I thoughts negate each other? Is it like algebra? You cross out the I thought?
No, he thought that Bama was better than he thought. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
And like that kid,
I think it's
I saw
pretty
that kid.
Simple to understand.
I don't know what he means. Look, Will's shaking his head violently.
What do you
back
mean you guys don't know what he means?
What
Will
does
gets,
he mean?
You know what? Will gets an excuse because this is like show four with us.
Still he's being
filling
indoctrinated.
In. Like this is, you should know better.
I don't know what he
You've
means.
You've been working with the big guy for 4 years.
Hold on.
Alabama was better than I thought. Is that
I'm
what
not,
hold on.
I'm not surprised.
Hold on, Will.
It took me a second.
Yeah, see, but Will gets it.
But Will, you agree with me, right? I'll be back next week too.
Yeah, sure. I agree with you.
Okay.
Thanks. I don't want to get in your bad graces.
No,
he knows. That's why he phrased
he's
it.
He's smart
that
kid.
That's why he just intimidated you openly
by
on the
reminding
air.
Reminding you that he will be in your presence, or rather, you'll be in his presence next week.
Yeah, Will's my guy.
Chewy, you're on one today. Is it just because it's Friday? What's going on?
I'm with you. I don't know what day it is. Today, it feels like a Tuesday, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Listen,
like yesterday was weird.
You're doing great, sweetheart. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, I thought she was talking to me.
Yeah, well, who knows who she was talking to? Who could say for sure, big guy? Who could say for sure? X-Golf, two locations here in Milwaukee. You have Brookfield, you have Mequon. You've heard me talk about their state-of-the-art simulators, but starting tomorrow, they have a brand new promotion that is exciting, and you need to check it out. It is Late Night Links, starting tomorrow, and then every Friday and Saturday night from 8 p.m. till midnight. They'll have great drink specials going on each and every night. Plus, they're going to have a special promotion. If you're playing your round of golf and you get a red ball that pops out of the simulator and you putt with it, well, you can get a free drink and entry into a monthly raffle to win a brand new wedge of your choice. That's right. You can win a wedge at X Golf in Brookfield or in Mequon by participating in their late night links Fridays and Saturdays, 8 p.m. to midnight. Drink specials going on all the time. Book your tee time. Participate in their late night links at xgolfbrookfield.com and xgolfmequon.com. I'm not saying it's your fault, although you could have done more.
Oh, you're so naive, yes, so. Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Remember, you can always get in with the show on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. And I want to wrap back around to where we started this morning, because there is a report out there that Mike McCarthy, former Green Bay Packers Super Bowl winning head coach Mike McCarthy — I probably don't have to give all the disclaimer on Mike McCarthy, I feel like people know exactly who he is, but I digress — would be interested, potentially, in going to Chicago and being the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Now, there are a lot of things that would have to happen still before that. There's a game this weekend. His Dallas Cowboys are obviously playing the Commanders. We are hopeful that the Cowboys can win that game, which would improve the Packers' seeding in the playoffs. Gabe, you just gave me an update. I was under the impression that the Packers were locked in to play the Rams if they do, in fact, get the sixth seed, but not so much.
There is a chance they could play the Buccaneers. If the Buccaneers win their game and Los Angeles loses theirs, they would flip-flop in Tampa Bay would be the three, meaning if Green Bay gets to the six, they could head to TB.
So obviously the Chicago Bears fired Matt Eberflus earlier this year in the middle of the season. They do have Caleb Williams under center. Theoretically, they are building a roster with a lot of top draft picks, as one can when you stink for as long as the Bears have. And Mike McCarthy's name has been thrown out there. Now look, Chew, I think we all kind of thought that the offensive coordinator in Detroit, Ben Johnson, I always confuse him with the track star. Isn't there a track star by the name of Ben Johnson back in the day? Thank you, Chew. Confirming my neuroses.
Canada, right? You got popped for steroids?
Yes.
Yes.
Sports trivia with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So he was in the mix, maybe, potentially, but I did see a report in The Athletic, guys, that said that he also might be kicking the tires on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The issues, it appears, guys, are the structure of the hierarchy of power in Chicago. So you have the McCaskies family, who owns the team. You have Ryan Poles, and you have Kevin Warren, who are sort of the czars of the Bears. And so any coach that would have to go in there would have to be okay with that power structure. And from what I'm hearing around the league, not every guy is. You know, even Vrabel, who everybody thought was going to be unemployed for about that long, might have been hesitant to join that situation. So we put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. And the reason I am bringing it back up, guys, is because it is 50-50 right now. We asked Packers fans, would you want Mike McCarthy to go and be the head coach of the Chicago Bears? It is literally locked at 50-50 right now. How do you explain that, Gabe?
I explain it as I would not want to see him there because I think he makes the Bears better. Now, Craig said earlier, I don't think you have to fear Mike McCarthy. Like, if Mike McCarthy is there, that winning streak the Packers have is over. Like, I don't think that the Bears are suddenly going to win 10 in a row against the Packers, but like he's going to get one against Green Bay. Like, he's going to get some decent amount of the talent that they have. They're certainly going to be better if he goes there. And I like Mike. I don't have to root against Mike. Like, right now in Dallas, he's pretty much harmless. You know what's going on. Yeah, they win 12 games, but they're harmless in the postseason. I'm cool with him down there. I don't want him down in Chicago. I don't have to root against him. The man's got a street named after him in the city of Green Bay. I don't want him to go to Chicago. And I think people are looking at it that way. And also, yeah, go ahead and coach him because they don't think he's any good and don't give him his proper respect.
Where would he fall as far as candidates? Middle of the pack? I mean, because you're seeing all these retreads, Ron Rivera.
Interviewed with the Jets.
Rex Ryan.
Interviewed with the Jets.
I think that, well, I mean, Rex Ryan is specific for one job. I don't think Rex Ryan is interviewing anywhere but one spot.
GD Snap.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't really hear other names.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Johnson.
I mean, there's going to be a handful of coaching jobs.
I've heard Brian Flores' name.
Yeah. Brian Flores is out there.
Brian Flores.
Ben Johnson obviously is going to be the hottest name.
But he should have his pick.
And he will. And he has already shown that he's going to be somebody that's going to be very careful about what he selects as his head coaching opportunity. He wants to make sure that he has every chance to succeed, which is why there are rumblings he may pass on the Bears job, even though he's been leaped to there.
But does Caleb Williams trump the dysfunction of the Bears? That's the question, whether people want to go there. Because the jury's still out on him. He clearly wasn't the best rookie. He wasn't even the second best rookie this year.
Fair.
So, and look, these coaches that are going to be applying for that job, no, they're dysfunctional. They've been dysfunctional for a while. So I'm just wondering if Caleb Williams, like, let's say Ben Johnson didn't have interaction with Ryan Poles, would he take that job?
Yeah, but the problem is, like, Poles would still be his boss technically. And I don't think he wants that.
Like, no, I'm saying if there was no rift between the two, is he definitely taking the Bears job?
Probably.
I'm saying Ben Johnson.
Yeah. Like, if Ryan Poles isn't there, Ben Johnson's going to Chicago.
Yeah.
Here's
so they may have to take a McCarthy or something like
that. Here's an interesting question that I heard asked on Unsportsmanlike this morning. If Mike McCarthy did take the Bears job, where would he rank in the coaches in the NFC North?
Fourth.
Yeah, fourth.
And is that him exclusively, or is that him plus circumstances?
Him plus circumstances. I mean, I think Kevin O'Connell has shown he's really good. Matt LaFleur has shown he's really good. We'll see what happens in Detroit if they lose both of their coordinators, because Aaron Glenn certainly is going to get head coaching looks as well. And while I think he is better equipped to handle it than Sirianni was in Philadelphia, you saw them take a step back when they lost both their coordinators a season ago. Losing both your coordinators, Chew, is a huge thing
that you
have to deal with. You have to hire the right people to make sure you don't miss a beat. And you could even just get one of the two wrong, and it's going to set you back. I mean, it's not going to set you back to not being a playoff team because they have a lot of talent, but it, you know, take a little half step back, and maybe Minnesota or Green Bay can catch you.
Yeah.
That's how thin the margin is. If McCarthy goes to the NFC North, I mean, yes, he's third in the division, but that just speaks to the coaching quality of teams in the division outside of Chicago.
Third in the division?
Fourth in the division.
Yeah, I think fourth.
Yeah.
But also, as you guys are having that conversation, I wonder where Matt LaFleur has fallen to.
Three. This year, you have to say three.
I kind of agree with you on that.
Especially the way that he has performed in those big games, because he's had a hand
in the
them
losses,
not winning those games.
Yeah.
But which still leads me to believe that I don't think he wants to run a 50-50 offense. I just don't. I think he wants to throw the ball a little more than they run the ball. No?
But also, isn't it a sign of a good coach who looks at the weapons he has, who looks at the personnel he has and says,
sure,
what is the best way to win with what we have, right? Like,
and he's figured that out.
Square peg, round hole, right? You can want to throw the ball because, you know, he's a former wide receiver, right?
But you don't think that
wide receiver?
A quarterback at a small school, I think in Alabama. You can fact check me if you want. But
I mean,
Jen, you don't think that LaFleur would love to go to Goody and say, hey, can you just please give me a number one receiver?
Go get T.
Let me ask you this, Chew. I will answer your question with a question. Do you think Matt LaFleur thinks Jordan Love is the type of quarterback he can win with 60-40 passing?
Yes. Now? Yes. Now?
No. 6 years ago.
Hold on. I'm thinking. I'm stalling.
Wait, you just said now, yes, and then just immediately regretted your decision.
Now? Wait. Hold on. Now?
Well,
yes. Now?
Wait, no. Now.
Answer I think he now. Definitely now. Knows.
I don't think so.
I think.
Wait, what about now?
This is funny. I definitely think he believes with a number one receiver. How's that?
I think he, more than anyone else out there, and there are a lot of keyboard warriors who talk about some of the deficiencies of Jordan Love, I think he recognizes that Jordan still has that wild card vein running through his body, and that that is always going to be a little bit uncomfortable for a guy like Matt LaFleur. That element right there. It's the no, 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 yes, or the I can't believe you threw, you know, the throwing into double coverage in the end zone. You know, like those types of things, I think, keep Matt LaFleur up at night.
I think next year, if you had T. Higgins, you had another year of Kraft, you had Josh Jacobs, and then you had Watson and Jaden Reed, they're a top five offense. Maybe a top three offense.
And so it would just be the addition of a number one wide receiver.
Yep.
I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't even want to talk about it.
Why do I feel like we have this conversation all the
Gabe,
time?
Gabe, would you agree that they'd be a top five offense?
Shades of Mike Evans.
Look, Chewy, am I agreeing with you? Yeah, I agree with you.
Now?
That's why I don't want to think.
Now?
Now I don't. But now I do again. It's crazy how that works.
Just, I'm not coming to work tomorrow.
Good.
Tomorrow's Saturday, you bozo.
Good. I don't want you to come to work tomorrow.
Like a Wednesday. So you're agreeing with me.
Chewy's going to text me tomorrow morning at 6:45. Hey, how come you haven't called me yet?
I hope people are watching on the YouTube stream, by the way. Can you see this, Gabe? Can you see the triple box on the YouTube stream?
Not really.
Chewy is sitting down like he's at the kids' table at Thanksgiving. Now I can see your big mug, but like all of a sudden you're way down here. Hold on. I can't even get low enough in my chair to match the height of your head. We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this. Wrap up the week.
Here we go. So get your best face on. Everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang. Let's go out with the gang.
Dumpy and West Bend weighing in on the carbless talk and text line. Liz is more saying, here's a week in re-chew question. What were Chewy's two New Year's resolutions? This feels like a good abbreviated version of the week in re-chew. I remember listening to this New Year's Eve. When did you guys get together this week?
Tuesday.
And you made two NFL New Year's resolutions, Chew. Can you recall those resolutions now on Friday, several days later?
I remember one was not listening to a thing the Bears say next year.
Yep.
What was the other? Gabe, do you know what it is?
I do know what it is, yes.
Is it football related?
Yes, it is.
You just said it was NFL.
Listening's not his strong suit.
Or remembering.
Come on, I'm an elephant. Well, I usually get hints, so give me a little hint.
No, you don't usually get hints. Famously.
I have no idea.
What? Come on, work through it a smidge.
He's got no chance.
Yeah. No,
if he doesn't, if it doesn't come to it, he's not working through it.
These are all great endorsements.
Was it Packer related?
It was.
Yes.
Oh, the D line, they suck.
Wait, what was the resolution though?
I don't care what they say in training camp. Oh, they're great. Look at it. No pads. Yeah. They're wonderful.
Hey, give him the ding. Yeah. Chewy was right.
Yeah. See, I knew I'd get there. It just took a little time.
You didn't. You literally gave up 30 seconds ago. If I hadn't prodded you to stick around, this would have been over. I believe in you more than you believe in you.
That's on you.
What we're finding out here. Chew, prediction for this weekend's game, Bears versus Packers. How long will the starters play? What will the score be? Does Jordan Love sit in the second half? Does Josh Jacobs? What do you think?
24-10, Green Bay. They'll score 21 in the first half.
To nothing?
With the starters, they will look at the Dallas-Washington score. It'll be out of hand, and Malik Willis will deliver 3 points.
Be out of hand which way? You think there's any chance that Dallas wins that game against the Commanders and helps the Packers out?
Nope.
So Monday morning, when the season is in the books, the regular season that is, you believe we will be talking about the Green Bay Packers as the number 7 seed headed to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles?
Correct. Ooh. Yes.
Can I at least hold out a little bit of hope.
Little bit, but probably not much. Yeah, and like Jason said, the Cowboys, when the Cowboys beat the Commanders earlier this year, they had CeeDee Lamb, and Cooper Rush was playing, but having CeeDee is just such a big difference with what they can do offensively. It's going to be tough for them to keep up with Washington and win that game with who they're sitting, because they know their season's over.
And Washington's excited, you know, surprise first year. They're going to be juicy. So, no, I don't see much of a game.
It's amazing that I'm going into this Bears-Packers game, which is obviously a historic rivalry and, you know, the beginnings of the NFL. And it obviously is something we look forward to every year. And I'm kind of going, eh, whatever.
Well, yeah, because the Bears are meh. Whatever.
But also because it doesn't mean anything. If you genuinely believe that there's little chance that the Dallas Cowboys can beat the Commanders to help the Packers get that sixth seed, that's really all I'm clinging to, if I'm being honest with you, for this game. That's all I'm clinging to is, can they improve their playoff lot? And you're telling me...
I don't know, like maybe a 25%
chance? Shaking the magic eight ball saying, outlook not good.
20% chance maybe? The Cowboys
do you think
win?
They're going to show... You think they'll show the score in the stadium?
Oh, that's a good question.
It doesn't really matter, right?
If the Cowboys win, yes.
I'll let you know. I'm going to the game.
You are?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Chilly Willy.
Yeah. Going in. Going in as a fan for the first time since 2010.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, been there plenty, you know, with the credentials, sitting up in the box. First time I'm sitting in the stand since 2010.
Who are you going with?
Guys from X-Golf.
You're going to be cold. It's going to be a cold weekend. Uh-huh. Okay, what do you got going on?
I
liquid warmth.
I don't know why I've kept like all of the like long underwear and stuff that I had from when I used to hunt,
because
that
why.
Was literally 20 years ago. But I still have it. I've still got the long underwear. We'll get that.
They said bring wood.
Oh, that's always good. Like wood or cardboard.
To sit on.
No.
For your stand feet. On. Yes.
For your feet, because that's better for because that cement with your feet gets so cold.
God, I'm having chills thinking about it, guys. Yeah. I was so
socks.
Cold.
Socks are the most important.
Well,
thing.
And I was at Notre Dame a few nights ago or weeks. What I who can say? Time yes. is a flat circle.
Yeah. Who
and
knows?
It was the coldest I have been standing on the sideline watching that game since I was covering a playoff game for the Green Bay Packers back in my Fox 6 days. I got done with that game, went inside, and I thought my feet, I was like, I might have done serious damage, permanent damage to my feet.
Did you cover the NFC Championship game in 07? Is that the one you're talking about?
07?
So it would have been January of 08.
Giants?
Yes. Oh, I was at
January,
yes, covered
January
that game,
of 08. That,
but
was,
that wasn't even the coldest one, I don't think.
Oh, that was...
Maybe
don't you remember?
Was.
Don't you remember Tom Coughlin and his
yeah,
red
yeah,
cheeks?
Maybe that was the one. I'm gonna have to go back in the archives and see. But it was standing outside for pregame show, standing outside for postgame show. Mounds of snow had we gotten dumped on. Green Bay had gotten dumped on. Yeah, it might have been it.
Yeah,
you know, my birthday weekend is always around that time.
Yeah,
just putting that out there. Okay, guys, I'm gonna mark it down. Put it on the calendar. My birthday coming up.
Her birthday month, Chew. We're gonna have to celebrate all month.
No, that's how it goes.
Turning the big, hey, we're out of time. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is wrapping up. Will, Dean, Josh is next. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go, Pack, go.